You're listening to the Salon Owners Collective podcast, where each week we share stories and expertise from business owners like you, plus experts, influencers, and Larissa's actionable steps that will transform your business and your life. And now your host, Larissa McLemon.
Thanks for joining me on the Salon Owners Collective podcast. Today, I introduce to you Ray Morris, editorial artist to the stars, and she shares an awesome story about the short interlude with Naomi Campbell that changed her life forever, among other awesome stories. Let's jump into the interview. Ray Morris, thank you so much for joining me on the Salon Owners Collective podcast. Really pleased to have you.
Thanks for having me.
You're very welcome. Now, I know that you're actually currently on location about to do a shoot, is that right?
Absolutely, yeah. I've got models and assistants running around everywhere, but I've just said, I'm going to the bathroom, I'll be a while, and they have no idea what I'm doing. I snuck away.
Look, for those of my listeners who don't know who you are, tell us a little bit about Ray Morris and your journey to becoming an editorial makeup artist.
Okay, well, I'm from Queensland, Brisbane originally. I was a hairdresser originally, so I understand the hair industry quite well. And I had a moment with Naomi Campbell, actually, that changed my life as a makeup artist. And what it was only hairdressing, and I was in Istanbul, and I always say it's 2 minutes of Naomi, probably, sorry, rephrase, it's 2 seconds of Naomi's life that she'll never remember that changed mine. And she wanted her makeup touched up, and I was sort of the only man standing left in the room. And I did, because she, her and her makeup artist had a bit of a fight. And all I did was apply clear lip gloss, because I honestly didn't know how else to do anything. And then I applied clear lip gloss. And at that moment, the paparazzi came in. And unfortunately, it was before the internet. It was actually before we even had Instagram or Facebook or any of that. So I kind of, that photo was in all the press through Europe. I got back to Brisbane, known as this international makeup artist, started to get bookings. So I went with it and thought, oh, I better sort this out. So I pretty much would turn up to jobs, and I did get proper training. I learnt from the master of makeup himself, Mr. Richard Shara. He died about 10 years ago. He was David Bowie's makeup artist. He was colorblind, and I was his last student. And he trained me, and so now I fly around the world. It sounds very glamorous, but I'm an editorial makeup artist mainly. So what that means is I shoot for Vogue, Harper's, Marie Claire, all the fashion magazines, work with celebrities and cosmetic companies. So I do all the kind of glamour looking. The job itself not always glamorous, but the work, we try to make it look as glamorous as we can.
That's an amazing story, and I didn't actually know about your 2 second change story. That gave me goosebumps. It's awesome.
Yeah, it was amazing. It was, and the funny thing was, when she said, "You do my makeup," that was at the time when she had the reputation of punching people. So I was actually terrified. But when I looked at the table, and she had, I remember, she had 2 mobile phones and a cigarette, so she was very distracted. And when I looked at the table, there was only like clear lip gloss and a mascara, and her lips were so big. I thought, you can't go wrong. And it was just that moment. And the funny thing is, the photo is more of me than it is of her. So. But and then I think it was people say, oh my God, you know, you lied, and it's funny, you know, all the people I know who've really made it in this industry to the highest level, they've always told me they've lied somewhere. I'm not trying to promote that, but they've all said, yes, I can do that. But the difference is they turned up and actually put themselves under pressure, and that's what I did. I went, yes, I can do that makeup, and then quickly had to learn on the spot how to do it. So.
You put your best foot.
So I'm not promoting lying, but it's I have to live up to my life.
I love it. So look, what do you think if someone was aspiring to be an editorial artist, what would be your one piece of advice that you would give them?
Oh, there's so many. I wish I could only give them one, but I might have to give you a couple here. So first of all, you can't be driven by money, because people don't understand that a lot of the jobs I do, I actually don't get paid for. It's the prestige of doing it. If you work for Vogue or Harper's, you might earn $50 a day, and people have no idea that you can't be money driven. So you need a backup job to help pay your wage. And the other thing, you have to eat, drink, live and breathe makeup. And it's not, makeup artists succeeded before Instagram, so it's not all about how many followers you have, it's about how good you are. So you have to be obsessed. I always say to people, if you have a day off and you don't have small children or a really good reason, if you're not doing makeup, you're not meant for the industry. Not for this part of the industry, because the dedication it takes is quite extreme.
Okay.
you've got to show up, money or otherwise.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the thing, that's the thing. People don't understand the editorial. I mean, to give you an idea, a photographer who shoots for Vogue gets $100 a page published, and he's got to buy $50,000 cameras. If I do a shoot for Vogue, I get paid $50 after I take out my my agent. People have no idea. The model gets $200. It's not for money. And look, I know this interview is only half an hour, and that's why I do seminars on this, because there's a reason. Because if you do Vogue, you know, when Pink comes to town or when Hugh Jackman's touring around the world and they want to pay you $2,000 a day, you get those jobs because you are in Vogue. So it is vital to stay current and to be in those magazines. Plus, you're going to a job where you've got the latest clothes, the best photographer, the most amazing model. It's not, it's beyond work. It's in your blood. Like, you won't even actually think about money. You won't, because you'll be so dedicated and committed to the art of it. Money's secondary.
Yep. Okay. Do the hard yards first.
Yeah. It's got to be in your blood.
Yep. Yep. Okay.
And the hard yards don't stop. They actually don't stop.
Yeah.
Just changes.
So I was about to ask you about one of the biggest mistakes that editorial artists make that you see them making. But in fact, I just want to shift for a little bit, because you actually have a little young person in your life who's very cute.
Yes. Yes.
Very, very sweet.
How Thank goodness.
That, how has that impacted your career?
Oh, my God. Like, I'm not going to be that person that's going to go, oh, it's just amazing. It is really tough. And it, you know what? It's the shock of my life. And I really wish someone sold that to me. My hat goes off to them. I mean, the only way I can explain it, I say to pregnant women, I probably shouldn't be saying this, but if the way I look at, I think about the hardest day of work that I've ever had, like, for example, Fashion Week, 60 models, a team of 40, 4 a.m. starts. That's easier than having a child.
Yeah.
I actually didn't know. And to be honest, I don't do it by myself. I have a team and I have a tribe. They do say it takes a village. And my advice is, if you don't have a village, you might have to pay for one. You'll need nannies, you'll need sitters. And also I was so physically exhausted, and I did suffer from postnatal, so I won't lie there either. I struggled a lot in the first probably 2 years, I'd say. I actually was very selective of the jobs that I did. So I only worked 1 or 2 days a week, but I actually, you know, to work, I do have an amazing husband. I have grandparents down the road. So if it's it does change you. And and now I'm very, very lenient with any women who have children now. I didn't understand the dedication it takes. So if you do want to have a child and a career, if your career's already established, great. You just have to, you know, get your team and get help. But if you want to have a child I would find it literally impossible if you don't have financial support or a team of people that are amazing babysitters and can be there for you. It would be very difficult. And no one said that to me, and I wish they did.
Mm, mm. I remember when my first son was really, really young, and I was walking down the street and I saw this beautiful, glowing, pregnant woman looking so proud to be so happy and pregnant. And I looked at her and I just thought, oh, you poor dear. You have no idea.
Thank you. My husband gets upset because I see pregnant women, I want to cry. I'm like, you don't understand. You know what? This is the way I explain it to my assistants. And we're in the hair and makeup industry. We are very open people.
Yeah.
I say, all you need to do is for 3 months get someone to punch you in the face every 45 minutes. And once you've done that, if you can cope with that lack of sleep, you're fine. It's okay. It's a lack of sleep, and I didn't understand.
I hear you. All right. So I know that there are, in the hair and beauty industry, people aspire to become an editorial artist. What's the one mistake you see that people make often on their journey up towards that goal?
Quite a lot. One of the main things is, the thing with editorial world right now, there's a big, you know, it's changed with this Instagram world happening now. And the thing is that Instagram face, that face that's very heavy, overdrawn, contoured, which looks great in a photo, does not work in the editorial world. And the main problem I'm seeing is skin. A lot of makeup artists don't always understand what skin does with light and cameras, and also understanding retouching. Like, for example, if you want skin to look amazing on a shoot but your model doesn't have amazing skin, you have to actually put less makeup on her. I actually put literally no foundation on skin like that, because in, that you got to understand that retouching, if you have makeup on skin that's not good, when they go to retouch it, you've only got foundation to play with. You don't have any bare skin. Mm. So it's applying too much. It's also not understanding the client, like understanding who you're shooting for. And, you know, I mean, the best advice I was given from the world's greatest hairdresser, Eugene Solomon, he said, it's important to sometimes have something missing. And it's also what you don't do. Like, for example, if a girl turns up and she's got incredible skin, and don't cover it. Don't, you know, don't put heavy eyelashes on if you're shooting during the day in the sunlight, because it creates shadows under the eyes. There's a lot. It's about knowing when to put the brush down. It's doing too much is always a problem. And a lot of times when you start as a makeup, I did this, and it actually nearly cost me my job, because I would try and show the photographer and makeup and client what I was capable of. So every model had eyeliner and lashes, and sometimes the client was like Oyster magazine. And if you look at that magazine, it's about rawness. It's about you've got to understand and also what that client feels is beautiful, because at the end of the day, what I'm trying to say, it's about your taste, and I can't teach people taste, but you've got to have a lot of taste when you work in the fashion world. You have to understand what a Prada client would look like compared to someone who wore a Lana Hill, compared to, you've got to really, and it's what you don't do that sometimes, like turning up and putting no makeup on a face could be the one thing that makes you a superstar.
Yeah.
So it's something that you need to understand as you're growing. Yeah. Create a beautiful image, not just beautiful makeup.
Yeah. Okay. Yep. And actually the smarts come in knowing when to do more or to do less, or to say actually no.
Yes.
No.
Yeah. 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 And you know what? Ego. And one thing I've learned when I've worked with, I've seen Pat McGrath, I've seen them. And when John Galliano or Karl Lagerfeld says, I don't like that lipstick, you never hear them say, well, it suits the eye color and because of blah, blah, blah. And what I find a lot of hair and makeup artists do, especially when you're from the salon, we're used to chatting. We're very chatty people, and we're very good at trying to talk. We get defensive. And what I've learned is when I see the best work, they never defend it. They never defend it. If a client says that hair is too big, you never hear them say, yeah, because when she stands up and it's that chatter, chat, just shut it down and say, of course, change it. And then if the client wanted to change it back. So it's about, one thing I found that really blew me away is seeing the better people get, the ego goes, not the other way around. So you can hear the amateurs on set. They're the ones to say, it's amazing. I was with Eugene Solomon. We did a shoot for Sports Girl. I'm not Sports, sorry, Country Road. And it was his ponytail. It took him 3 hours, best ponytail I've ever seen in my life. He walked out there. I was doing makeup, the photographer. He wasn't that like world-renowned. He said, the hair looks too flat. Eugene Solomon, the best in the world, just went, sure, I'll change it, changed it. While we were changing it, all the backup extras were being shot by a bit more amateur hair and makeup team, and the director said exactly the same thing to them, and it was so embarrassing. All you heard was, yeah, but bring that the colour, and it's like, oh, my God, Eugene didn't even question it. And so that was a really big eye-opener. So you got to, I think that goes to even clients in the salon.
A lot of clients
is beautiful. It's different to what you feel is beautiful. So don't take the ego out.
I love that saying. I mean, that just sort of encapsulates everything. The bigger they get, the ego gets smaller, actually, as they rise up.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Absolutely. Because they won't last long with it. They won't even get that next job if they're fighting for an eyeliner when it's not even needed.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Yeah, beautiful. So you mentioned social media, and you have a really big social media following yourself. How has that impacted the growth of your business, would you say?
The good thing in my job, my clients don't book me for my following, which is great. They book me, thank goodness, for like ability. But there is clients now that will book you for following. But one thing I've noticed, it definitely has helped me, but it's good and it's bad, because it's good because, you know, you can put a photo out instead of waiting for Vogue to publish it and only the people who read Vogue see it. You can have 10 million people see it if it's shared overnight. So that's good. But you know what else it's doing? The bad side of it, not really for me, but what I tell anyone, this is probably back to that what people do wrong. When you're in the fashion, when you're an editorial or fashion makeup artist, you are seen to be the best of the best, because fashion people do Vogue and Harper's whatever. They're kind of looked upon to be they've made it, because, you know, that's sort of the highest level you can do. It pays the best, it gives you the most prestige, and not many people are willing to do it. So if you want to call yourself a fashion makeup artist, whenever you put an image onto social media, you are telling the world, I think this is beautiful, I think this is perfection. And this is where it goes so wrong, because you're not there to defend it. So I say to so many up-and-coming makeup artists, I look at their posts, and the girl is... You've got to be attractive to women, if this makes sense, not to men. So when you put your Instagram posts, you've got to be careful of kind of that raunchy, too booby, too promiscuous, because 99% of our clients are women. We're selling to women. And also, when you put those shots up, if the hair is not amazing, no, people will think that you think it is, because you put that picture up. People aren't thinking, oh, he did the makeup, the model wasn't great, but look what he did. Isn't that eyeliner great, considering she had small eyes? And look, the shirt wasn't ironed, but, you know, you weren't the scar. No, you've got to drop all that. And when you put – it's so true. When you put that image out, you aren't there to defend it, because it shows your taste. So clients are looking at your taste. And if you put images up like that up, a client thinks that you don't care about perfection. And our job is all about perfection.
Yep. Yep. I just think that's the most important tip, actually, whether you're an editorial artist or you're an in-salon stylist. I think that's...
Yeah. It applies, that's the thing, it applies for all of it, doesn't change.
Absolutely.
And that's the thing with salons, like, it's funny, you know, even with brides, I've noticed is that brides, you'd be very careful when you put a bride up on your post, because no one cares about before and after. They do, that's not right. What I'm trying to say is, when you put brides up, I've watched women look at Instagram posts where the makeup and hair was beautiful, but the girl doesn't like the dress. They go, oh, is that dress or oh, no. Like, women with the, say, if you don't think that dress is beautiful and it's your taste, I wouldn't put it up. Because women want to get work, women want the ideal, they want their makeup and artists to work a dream. They want to think that they're in the best hands, that they've got so much taste. So if you're putting a picture of a bride up and the dress isn't great and the tiara's not, and the hair's not, don't post it.
Mm.
Put the most beautiful Victoria's Secret. There's a girl in Australia, Sarah Laidlaw, who does over 100 before she just won Makeup Artist and Hairdresser of the Year this year. She has no business card, no website, does 100 weddings a year.
Wow.
She doesn't put brides up. When she has, she doesn't even put a tiara on them. She just puts beautiful. There's another girl I encourage people to look at. She's one of my ex-assistants. Her name's Ashley Penfold. I'll send you the link, A-S-H-L-E-A. She's a girl without an agent who works in Byron Bay. This is for the ones that go, but I don't live in Sydney. And all she's known for is beautiful bridal beachy makeup. She's booked out for a year ahead. You can't even get into her. But if you look at her Instagram post, the girls are so beautiful. The hair is so amazing. And I know they go, but I don't get to work with Well, if you want to work in the industry, you might have to book one for a shoot. You might have to find the prettiest girl you can, because people care about your taste. That's the first thing people are going to engage with you. Even with haircuts, if you're doing a crazy haircut, but the model doesn't look like she loves that she's wearing it, or the shirt she's wearing is really not suiting the hair, don't post it.
Mm.
Post that everything is what you believe. Yeah, I'm ranting. I'm sorry. I'm going.
Well, you're kind of
shut
saying,
me up when I get onto this.
But kind of underlying what you're saying actually is that, you know, people like Ashley, as you just mentioned, there's a signature look. And people are judging you on that. And so be true to your signature look and make sure everything is...
Yes.
What's the word you used? The style, your look. You used a beautiful...
Yeah, it's a very important thing.
Yeah.
And if there is a few people that need... Like, I do agree, you've still got to have that talent around everything. But if you look at even the girl, the Natalie Ann Hare girl, she's known for waves. And she's got a million followers. But her waves are incredible. They're like... They're amazing.
Yeah.
So you can be known for one thing. Or if you're not, remember your market. Women, at the end of the day, I believe... There is a very heavy Instagram makeup world, but I believe that's more for women who want to do it on themselves. Instagram is a lot about self. How many followers do I get? How many likes do I get? But I believe most women I know want to look like a woman that walks the red carpet of the Academy Award. And that's for the Academy Awards. And when I say to girls, if you want to be a great makeup artist, and this is really important. If you want to work in the fashion industry, what does fashion look like? If you look at, just say, Vogue and Marie Claire, look at their covers. Sometimes it's no makeup. It's just shine and a lip gloss. Marie Claire's a blow dry and a lipstick. You know, would your clients are actors, they're actresses, they're So you've got to think, when I'm putting a picture on Instagram, if I'm doing Cirque du Soleil body painting makeup, that's not really what fashion looks like. Yeah. That's what 1% of fashion looks like. It's about making women look like they're about to walk the red carpet of the Academy Awards.
Yep, yep. The best, most beautiful version of themselves. Not yes, somebody else.
Exactly. Not crazy. Look, I'm known for the crazy stuff because I get booked to do it. I made a career out of it. But I tell you what, I couldn't survive on it. I could not survive on it. 90% of my stuff is runway, beautiful, Victoria's Secret, you know, Marie Claire. That's good skin. That's what 90% of what day-to-day job is.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Very interesting. Very interesting and very inspiring. Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
So you're a crazy, busy, manic mum traveling around the world and you've got lots of balls in the air. What's
yes, my bubba does come with me too and my husband when I travel, so I don't want people to think I just dump my kid at home and off I go. Yeah. I don't.
And now your husband is part of your business, is that right?
Yeah, he is now, the poor thing. He actually was, he was an exotic species vet, so he's an animal doctor, but he worked with exotic species, and he's very, very smart man, so he's a medical genius. And then he was a racing car driver, but he got an MBA in business, whatever you call that, how bad, I can't repeat what he does, but he's so clever, so... And I tell you, if it wasn't for him, like all the dreams and things I wanted to eat, my husband always, like I've definitely got the emotional side, like, oh, that brush isn't perfect enough. I'm going to cry. It's going to be better. And my husband, thank God he's patient. But yeah, I wouldn't be doing brushes or books or anything if it wasn't for the support of him because I couldn't do it. I don't have, I get too creative and I get too caught up in things that sometimes I shouldn't. And we're yin and yang.
Yeah, it's awesome. Yeah, that's perfect. Yeah, that's great. I think you're very lucky to have that combination and it works beautifully. I've seen the two of you at work together and it's magic. So,
we probably look magic to everyone, but tell you what, we have our fights. I win some of them, but not all of them.
Well, look, I can't say I could work with my husband. I don't think it would be good.
I'm good that we work, but we're not always in the same room. I'm off doing things and he's doing the background stuff and he's a very patient man, so that's good.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, look, what's one quote or mantra that keeps you going as a busy entrepreneur? What's something that you always come back to? Tell me.
My one is, what would you do or attempt to do if you knew for sure you could not fail?
Yeah, cool.
I live by that one. And my husband always said, do you want to be rich or do you want to be right? That's his business one. Do you want to be rich or do you want to be right? I'm like, I want both.
I love that. Yeah, that's cool. We want our cake and eat it too, thank you.
Yes, thank you. Oh yeah.
What's a book or a webinar or a podcast or something where you gain your inspiration and learning from that you can suggest to the listeners?
So models.com is probably the website I live on really every day. That's sort of like, it's a website for models, but also for the world, like it's the only top of the top, like editorial hair, makeup, models. They have a thing, we just click on like a, you click on any model, say Abby Lee or Miranda Kerr, whatever, and it shows you all her latest like editorial, but only things like, you know, Italian Vogue, French Vogue. So it shows you the shoots before they hit the stand. So even the cover of Paris Vogue will be on that website before it comes out. So, and what I love about that, and I say this also to up and coming makeup artists, if you want to work in this world, you have to know who you're in this world with, who you're playing with. Mm-hmm. So I say go onto that website and look at Val Gal and look at Pat McGrath. You should know everyone's name. Peter Phillips, he's the head of Chanel. Why? How is his makeup different to Aaron DeMay? How is that different? How is Eugene Solomon and Guido different? And all this information, that one website, models.com. And the other thing I do for inspiration is I go to my favorite photographers and designers, say, for example, John Galliano or Mert Marcus. I love Solvay. He's one of my favorite photographers too, or even Picasso, oh my God, Paolo Reversi. And what I do is I look at who they follow. And it's like a little gold mine gem. You just find like these lace makers that live in Algeria, or you'll find, it's just incredible. So I look at the people who inspire me, but I look at what they're looking at, what inspires them. Mm. That's what I do. Mm. I get so inspired.
Okay, that tip is gold right there. That's awesome.
I know, right? Oh, and you know, the best piece of advice I've ever heard, the inspiration, oh my God, it came from John Galliano's mouth, who was being interviewed, and they said to him, so, you know, the whole world looks to you for inspiration, but where do you go? And he said, oh, that's easy. I never reference a reference. I go straight to the source. And what he meant by that, he was just that season was a season where it was all the everything was Egyptian. Instead of them looking at a magazine in, say, a Vogue of when they did something Egyptian, they all went to Egypt. It was like, oh, my God, wow. This makes sense. And it's like the source that they all tap into, we have the same access. So when they do a shoot on the 1940s makeup, they'll go to museums or they'll go and look at 1940s films. They won't reference a reference. And I thought, like, it's basically like you're tapping into the matrix. And I'm like, oh, my God, anything. Like they did the Inuit Eskimo show about, oh, probably 10 years ago. They all went to Antarctica. I'm like, oh, my God. They just go straight to the source. And I thought, that was so powerful. And hairdressing, the same thing. I think, you know, if you love Sassoon stuff, go to where it was born. Find where that trend started. And, you know, that's what everyone else does. So,
yep,
that's what I do.
Yep. I love it. I love it. Look, you've just delivered us nuggets of gold all the way through that, those awesome
stories. I love being a nugget of gold.
So I really appreciate you coming along.
Oh, pleasure.
From your shoot to come and chat with us. I know that people are going to stalk you and find the things that you have available. So can you tell us your www and your social pages, please?
Yeah, oh, thank you. So and by the way, drop the mic. I've just designed the world's best makeup brushes because in Japan, there's only 40 Masters of Craft awarded in Japan, and there's only two men living in the whole world that can make the original feud calligraphy brush. They're like, take 6 months to make, sell for thousands. And this family business has three masters in the business. They've never made brushes for anyone else. It took me 4 years of going back and forth. The last trip I took my child, it was a year and a half, and that I was in. So now my brushes, I can claim they're not only the world's best magnetic brushes, but they're made by the best brush maker in the world, hands down. There you go. Because you know what happened? My last range, it was sort of made a bit in Korea, China and Japan. People copying me. And I'm talking like the biggest blogger in Korea, Pony, copied me. And I thought, husband's like, do you want to be rich or white? I'm like, I want to be both. And I said, what can I do that no one can compete? And then, you know, Dita Von T's orders are set, Queen of Guitar orders are set, then China Vogue voted them the best brushes, and then Harper's Bazaar put them in the top 10 in the world. They haven't got the new set yet. So that's just been launched last week. And the book, My Proceeds Go, that's based on a science. The science of fire is actually a mathematical equation to beauty. It's what plastic surgeons use to teach other plastic surgeons. And I've written all about that in the book and how it applies. So basically you understand the mathematics of someone's face. When you do a smoky eye, you'll always make her the most beautiful version of yourself. Blah, 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 blah. www.raymorris.com. And Ray Morris Makeup is my Instagram.
Fantastic. All right. I'm going to go and stalk your brushes. I love that story. You can be right and you can be rich and go to the source. So good for you.
I'm not quite rich yet. They've cost me a frigging fortune. I've had to put the house. Yeah, we've sold everything and I'm living in a tent. But that's okay. And it's funny. I actually made the brushes. They actually weren't for anyone else. They were just for me. I never meant this to be a business. But it was only because makeup artists and models started to ask me, can I make them some? And that's how it happened. So, yeah. I just want to have a nice car one day, but that's a long way off now.
Look, thank you.
Thank you so much for having me.
And I'll see you in Sydney at some stage soon.
Bye. I can't wait. Thank you so much. Bye bye.
See ya.
Thanks for joining us for another episode of the Salon Owners Collective Podcast. Tune in each week as we reveal the latest insight and advice on what it takes to make your salon a success today. Subscribe to the Salon Owners Collective Podcast on iTunes. Or visit us online at salonownerscollective.com for answers to your common questions, to follow Larissa, and much more. Thanks for listening. See you next time.